the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a Mass called Septuagesima. Septuagesima Sunday, even in the name of the Mass, it's communicating something for us. That at Septuagesima, we are now 70 days roughly, 70 days from celebrating the wonder of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ at Pascha. And it's on this day that we begin, like we talked about last week was coming, we begin the 3-week preparation of our souls to walk with Christ, to follow Christ through His designated very healing season of Lent, one that He paved the way for us to walk in. And we notice on this day that there are changes already being made to our senses, for example. Liturgical colors have changed from green to our violet, which brings us the vision, the image of the blessed, hope-filled repentance Christ wants us to come to. We have ceased the singing of the Gloria in the Mass, and that will remain that way all the way throughout Lent. We've gone to the more simpler tone, simplifying things, which is something we should do in our lives as we start preparing for Lent and walking through Lent. There are numerous other things that have been changed liturgically to set the stage even for these 3 weeks of preparation. More to come at Ash Wednesday when we go into Lent. Something's being communicated to us. Even our surroundings are speaking to us, hey, pay attention. It's time to prepare. And to prepare for something that can be so greatly healing to all of us, if we'll but follow the humor. Okay? Today, we would do well to consider a question as we prepare ourselves to walk through Lent. And when I ask this question, please don't hear it lightly or flippantly. It is a very real and very significant question. And the question for us to consider today is this. What really is the priority in this life that we really place on the care of our souls? What is the priority in life that we place on the care of our souls? Another way of asking that question might be, what urgency do we live with? What urgency do we live with to move towards Christ, to encounter Christ, so that the healing of our souls and our salvation can take place, which means so that we might experience the joy and the wonder of the other side of that healing and the enormous gifts that Christ brings in the kingdom of God. You know, we do a self-examination regularly, or at least we should, a spiritual discipline to allow the Holy Spirit to shine His light into us, to examine us, to show us the illness within our soul, so that once diagnosed, we can say to the Lord, here's my leprosy, here's my blindness, and He'll heal. We do those self-examinations. But to assist us in answering the question before us today, I thought it might be good to consider doing this upcoming week a self-examination of a bit different nature. Not just about the interior of our soul, but a self-examination of how we use our time. A self-examination of how we go about our days. What are they filled with? What is it that what they're filled with tells us about our urgent desire to get to Christ? Because one look, and I say this with great conviction coming out of my mouth to you, so you got to deal with your own conviction. I can tell you one look at one day in our lives will really help us mark the sense of urgency that we have within ourselves to find Christ's healing and to experience His salvation. Every one of us, myself included, we go through our lives, we go through the year, and that urgency waxes and it wanes, doesn't it? We'll hit spurts where, for whatever reason, we have been so motivated by Christ and the Holy Spirit to thrust ourselves down at His feet in worship, crying out for mercy, and we'll experience it. And then we'll have those seasons where we give in to all of those blessed distractions. And they start dulling our spiritual senses. And that urgency towards Christ is probably nowhere to be found, or at least very little. And it's at this time, the reason out of Christ's love for us, he puts this question before us. It's at this time when we prepare for Lent, we're given an opportunity to turn back from all of those distractions, to refocus our soul, to return to his path, the only path that brings life into our soul, peace into our soul, and health into our innermost being. And it is that blessed path of what we call hope-filled repentance. That's the life. That's the life we're looking for. Let's look at a few brief examples that Jesus told his listeners regarding the urgency with which he desires his people and that they need to live towards him with in this life. Both of these short parables are from the Gospel of St. Matthew in chapter 13. And every time Jesus starts a parable, this whole aspect of his teaching in the Gospels, he's starting every parable with this: the kingdom of heaven is like. What you're hearing is the king of the kingdom of heaven describing what the real kingdom of heaven is like and how to live in it and how to experience it. So we need to let our ears perk up when we hear those words. The first is this. Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the whole field. You get that sense of urgency from this man. This man finds a great treasure, and he understands its worth, and the worth of it is everything to him. And that's why, for joy, to obtain it, to gain it, for the joy that is set before him that he can see, what does he do? He sells everything he has, and not only buys the little mark where the treasure was buried, but the whole field itself, to be sure that he gets it. St. Hilary of Poitiers, he said, the treasure in the field, as we said, signifies Christ in the flesh, who was found freely. Indeed, the preaching of the Gospels has no strings attached, but the power to use and own this treasure with the field comes at a price. For heavenly riches, he says, are not possessed without worldly loss. The man sold everything to inherit the joy and the treasure. He was desperate for what he saw. But make no mistake, the treasure cost him, and it will cost us something. We will have to, in this life, as part of our taking up the cross, we will have to lose a little of what is far lesser to gain what is far greater. But the loss pales in comparison to the treasure that is to be had, found, discovered, and taken into ourselves, which is why that man sold all that he had to obtain it. Jesus continues in the next verse with another parable very similar to that one, the parable of the pearl of great price. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, very similar to the last one. This pearl seeker, he finds a pearl of infinite value and he knows its worth. And the knowing of its worth is what creates the sense of urgency to sell all that he has and to gain it, to take it to himself. In order to have it, he went and sold all that he had to get it. St. Theodore of Mopsuestia, listen to his words, because they give us the key to developing, Christ developing a sense of urgency within us all. St. Theodore, he said, many who were entirely foreign to religion immediately recognized by divine grace the greatness of Christ. And they despised all their former things and looked to this thing alone, recognizing the one who is salvation for them. Was that telling us the key to developing and cultivating an urgency within our soul is? It's this. The key to a living with a sense of spiritual earnesty is to open up the soul just enough where Christ can share himself with us. Open up the soul just enough where we can behold just a glimpse of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because just the glimpse that he floods in when we open up the slightest part of our door of the soul, The glimpse is what grants the urgency to sell everything and to follow that, because he is so good and his kingdom is so wondrous and glorious. There is nothing that one who sees just a bit of it wouldn't do to obtain it. It reminds me of the disciples, the first calling of the disciples, really all disciples that followed Jesus. Remember those first ones, Peter, James, and John, fishermen, weary from fishing all night and catching nothing, and Jesus shows up on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he preaches from Peter's boat, and Peter's sitting there listening to him, and they have the miracle of the catch of fish. And even after that day, please understand, those three men only had a glimpse. They didn't understand Jesus fully. But they only had a glimpse, a brief experience with the Word of God, with the Savior. And what was the response within their soul and in their actions to that brief glimpse? They left everything, including their jobs, because they saw the pearl of great price, and they followed him. They wanted more. Christ will do this for us. What is our sense? What is our sense of joy-filled urgency at this stage of the game? St. Paul, in our epistle reading today from 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, speaks of this. He shows us something different. He shows us what this life of urgency looks like for the Christian. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." That means self-controlled in all things. A fruit of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who competes is self-controlled in all things. "Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I should become disqualified." Again, we hear the urgency, but this time, it's the urgency of an athlete. An urgency of an athlete. We run with our urgency, and that urgency, by the help of Christ, should rearrange and reprioritize many things in our lives for the pursuit of Christ and his kingdom. The prize becomes everything to the athlete. The cravings of the body and all the distractions of this waning world, they're nothing to the athlete that values the prize and see what's ahead of them. And they keep the prize before them. And so we choose, like athletes, to grow in the gift of self-control that Christ has designated for us to grow in during the blessed season of Lent, so that we choose, with the help of divine power given to us, to turn away from all of those unhealthy patterns and those choices that are robbing us of obtaining true joy and peace. Christ, the prize himself, that which we were created to enjoy from the very beginning. And like the writer of Hebrews speaks of in Hebrews chapter 12, he continues in the framework of the use of an athlete to speak of this running with urgency. He says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Take this week. Do a self-examination of time. But as you do it, open slightly just a bit of your soul and ask Christ to reveal something of himself to you this week. Let him show himself to you, so that he can grace you. If he's the beginning and the end of our faith, even our urgency to move towards him begins with who? Him. Open up the soul, experience him, and that glimpse will lead us to a healthy urgency. And as we live by that urgency, we will know what the kingdom of God is truly like. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.